Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Another quick rant of truth on the scales of truth. I'm Tyson Harley. And you know what? I'm wrong again. Gosh, it's been 35, 36, 37 seconds now. And before that, I'd gone all the way up to, remember the old, we have gone 100 days without an accident. Well, my counter was up to at least 67 seconds before that last one. For being wrong. So time to, you know, flip the sign. Well, one thing that I had made a distinction of, because I saw there was a distinction, but I incorrectly understood the distinction, was that perhaps Johnson and Johnson wasn't as bad. So you hear it's one dose, and you hear it's more traditional and this type of thing. Well, that was incorrect. I mean, it may not be as bad. I know it's a matter of opinion, but if you've listened to my previous episodes, you know it's very simple. The logic string is the problem's main culprit has been identified quite scientifically as a spike protein, which has also been quite scientifically proven, documented as being the part that was engineered back in the EcoHealth Alliance funded laboratories, whether that was Wuhan or not, it was. But we don't have direct evidence of what exactly was going on in Wuhan. We just know the EcoHealth Alliance labs, the labs that were funded by them, which Wuhan was, definitely came out with a study of spike protein being engineered. So we know the spike protein was engineered. We know that the spike protein has now been shown to be the problem with the virus. And then we know that the vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, the messenger RNA vaccine, then tells your body to create the very thing that's the problem instead of any of the 26 other proteins to identify, you know, the whole thing. Instead of realizing what your face looks like, it realizes what your claw, your dagger claw looks like if you're Wolverine. It's like, I think we should probably just recreate the face, not the dagger claw, because you know how if we have the body create a bunch of dagger claws, that could be bad. Let's just make a copy of the face, a crappy copy, but that's another whole argument I'm probably going to make. Instead, we'll make the dagger claw, and that way your body will recognize the dagger claw part and hopefully therefore recognize all of it. Until the dagger claw changes, jackass. But so with that, we then said, okay, fine. The messenger RNA says, body, create the spike protein. And then you go, well, what limits the spike protein production? Who knows? But we say it stays in the deltoid. Well, what you say is a lie. So what about when the possibility the body could create too many spike protein? Who knows? But it won't. It probably won't. But you didn't study for it. It probably won't. It won't. Come on. It won't create too many spike proteins. Oh, also, the spike protein is associated to heart problems in the virus, but heart problems are so associated to the vaccine. But the fact that we've chose the spike protein, nothing to see here, you know, as the part for the body to produce, resulted in cardiovascular damage, connected to spike proteins in the virus? Oh, the vaccine being associated with cardiovascular damage? Who knows? I mean, it's probably not the fact that we had the body create a bunch of spike protein. So I have obviously ad infinitum and ad nauseum talked about that. But I was absolutely and utterly incorrect about the relative safety of Johnson & Johnson. I hear, okay, one dose, not two. I hear not the newest technology. And I have an occasion to look this up because thanks to the non-president's, the non-court's inability to uphold the Constitution and instead just decide that we have to defer to a president with, not looking at the argument anew as to whether it's constitutional, but instead putting a bunch of deferential policies because you don't want to have to review everything, and allowing an executive order that, had it been legislation, would have been massively controversial and would have had massive arguments against it. Instead, legislation via executive order does not have those arguments, even though it would have been the equivalent to the most controversial bill ever made. So because the court just defers and decides not to see that because they give massive deference to executive orders, we now have the executive order standing, at least for now. And so someone I know is going to at least potentially have to get the vaccine, have to figure out the exemption stuff, so on and so forth. And so I said, well, you should at least get the Johnson & Johnson. It's better. And then I look and go, no, it's not. It's not. It still tells the body to create spike proteins. It just delivers that message via DNA instead of messenger RNA. So could that be better or worse? I don't know, but I know the weakness of still exists of, do you know whether the body will overproduce it? Your coding does not say stop at 10. This, again, computer programmers, it's not computer coding. It doesn't say count and then count equals 10, stop. It's not it. It tells the body to create spike proteins. And so the question is how many? So both of them have the body create spike proteins. One, the message is just delivered via DNA, the Johnson & Johnson. The other one, the message is delivered via messenger RNA. And what helped confuse some of us is that we thought, oh, it must be it refers to adenovirus. And if you don't know the term, you go, okay, well, at least that's adenovirus method, not messenger RNA. No. Adenovirus ends up just being the vehicle by which it gets back past the body's systems or into the cell, if you will. So the messenger RNA, your body would obliterate it, see it for the threat it is, and that's why they couldn't deliver it before. They had to come up with a good enough Trojan horse, and they put it in nanolipids or something like that, but basically encase it in fat. And they had to keep working on that because the body kept wanting to destroy it. So eventually they deliver something non-biological enough, and it works. And so the delivery method is just simply different for the Johnson & Johnson, and it's delivered via a adenovirus, whatever that means. Apparently inside a virus just enough to infect some cells just purely for the purposes of delivering the DNA for the purposes of having the body create the spike protein. So in both cases, spike proteins instructions are delivered. In both cases, who knows if you have runaway spike protein. In both cases, DNA or RNA or its cousin RNA are involved. So there's no reason to think that Johnson & Johnson is any better. Don't take either. And we'll see what we have to do as far as exemptions, as far as the friend that I know that is under this. But I'll help work it with them for sure, because they don't in any way want to suffer the possibility of long-term cardiovascular damage or, God forbid, acute cardiovascular events that are definitely tied into this. If they weren't definitely tied into this, you wouldn't see the news saying particularly tied to younger adults, because that is different than regular cardiovascular disease. It is entirely different. So you have a different vector. Is it because if it gets into the system, the bodies, the young and leaning towards young males are better at following those instructions? So because they're better at following those instructions, they're more likely to overproduce? Well, whatever it is, that cardiovascular problem, including up to and including heart attacks and death as a result, cardiac arrest, plain and simple, is more specifically tied to young males. Regular cardiovascular disease is not more specifically tied to young males. It is an age progression disease. So in either case, if you haven't controlled for what if we make too many spike proteins, then you're just committing massive damage. And I'm going to really quickly just end on this. Someone makes a great point. There was one vaccine that not 20 years ago, I don't know, the range of 8 to 15, was stopped because it was associated with five deaths. And now we have just change the standard astronomically to say, whatever, it's all worth it. Who cares about the injuries? It's all worth it. Now, they haven't taken away the injury compensation, but in the mass perception of things, they have said, five deaths, schmive deaths,
whatever, you can keep telling us that you're looking in VAERS and now you're up to 10,000 and that's underreporting by maybe a factor of 19. So maybe you're up to, you know, 190,000. Now you're up to 400,000. Do you see this face? Do you see how we don't care? We're not stopping it. We don't care. If we don't care, then we have just flipped the switch to all the profit with none of the liability. Do you see how that works? And we can convince those idiots who think that we're overpopulated that, hey, isn't this a nice little vehicle for that? And even if we don't have to convince them in person, just the mere a cause and effect of our product is something that they're actually all for. All right, guys, that's it. Johnson & Johnson, not your safe alternative. Now, you could look in the data and go, is it possible that the DNA that says create spike proteins versus the messenger RNA that creates spike proteins, for some reason, just happens to be less risky? For some unknown, we don't really understand the reason we didn't get granular enough. Unfortunately, you can't trust any of the data enough to know that because there's just not enough. It's been too politicized, the miscategorization and everything else. I don't think any difference you'd see between a Pfizer and Johnson, especially because you wouldn't even know the reason for it. What would be even the theoretical reason why the DNA one might not create overproduced spike proteins versus messenger RNA? I don't know. You'd have to come up with that argument and then see a big enough data difference. So it's possible you could see a big enough data difference with in VAERS and say, you know what, Johnson & Johnson does appear more safe per dose given, you know, per person affected. So bad news, but I kind of wanted to correct something I've implied before, probably said on Chemology. I've never had any kind of an episode on Johnson & Johnson, or I would have uncovered that for sure. But just a little bit of clarity, because I might not be the only one who think, well, at least Johnson & Johnson's different. I definitely want to avoid Pfizer, but maybe I don't care as much about Johnson & Johnson. There's no reason to be suspect of Johnson & Johnson, to be suspicious of Johnson & Johnson any less, unfortunately. All right, guys, that's it for me. I'm Tyson Harley. Catch me on the Scales of Truth and on Chemology 411.